Agenda. We have six items. Waste Water Agreement Number 510-3, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, the Reserves Phase 4B of the Ocean View Expansion of Benton Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Waste Water Agreement Number 94-17, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Coastal Club, Land Bay 3, Phase B Construction Record of the Gosley Creek Panning Area. Waste Water Agreement Number 558-12, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Peninsula Lakes, Phase 7A, Construction Record, Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District. Waste Water Agreement Number 558-13, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Peninsula Lakes, Phase 7B, Pump Station Number 2 and Force Main of the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District. Waste Water Agreement Number 940-1, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Marsh Island, Pump Station and Force Main, Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. And Waste Water Agreement Number 940-2, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Marsh Island, Phase 1A, Construction Record, Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. Any questions about those consent agenda? Intend a motion to approve consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Lawson. Administrator's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Only one item today. Per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Peninsula Lakes Phase 5 construction record received substantial completion effective October 17th. That is all.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Jennings, fiscal year 2018 human service grants.
Thank you, Mr. President. Put the presentation up here. Okay, I'm going to present the Human Service Grant Program for fiscal year 2018. As in the past, the purpose of this grant program is for nonprofit agencies countywide that enhance human and health services, which contribute to the safe, healthy, and self-sufficient community. The process was similar to last year. All organizations submitted an application online. Finance reviewed the nonprofit status and the scope of the request. Legal reviewed if there's any religious affiliation, and then finance created a formula based off of the number of beneficiaries, the need, and best utilize the grant funds. So the formula this year is very similar to last year. I was able to add additional steps because the budget this year had $225,000 compared to the $200,000 last year. So you can see, depending on the number of beneficiaries, which step they would belong to, and then I looked at what need they had. So they showed me their revenues and their expenses in the application, and then I could see if they had a need, and if they had a need greater than $15,000, they would get $5,000, $10,000, and the $15,000. So down the bottom, if they had more than 1,000 beneficiaries, their base amount would be $2,750. They would get $300 for each level, adding $900 to get a total of $3,650. The Boys and Girls Clubs, they all received or recommended to be received $1,820, and the Cheer and Senior Centers, $5,500. Both of those grant amounts have increased from the previous year. Looking at the statistics, when I received the applications, we received $612,000 in requests from 87 qualified organizations. I saw 12 new organizations that accompanied 129,529 Sussex County beneficiaries, and of course those beneficiaries could cross multiple organizations. The organizations showed they raised approximately $8.1 million of other types of supports for projects, so that means that the county's funding would be 2% of the total funding that they collect. The type of beneficiary, the top three categories are youth at 26%, elderly 20%, and then low income at 18%. So here are your 87 recipients that I am recommending. You also had gotten another sheet that's in your packet that says what they requested, what they got last year, and what's this year as well. And you can see it was $225,000 was spent. And then I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the fiscal year 2018 human service grant allocation as presented.
Pleasure of council.
Make a motion to adopt.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion?
Just one question, Mr. President,
Arlette.
If I can, and that is, I know on our Councilmatic grants, we've got the form about the I guess to confirm the need of a grant. So we've had this discussion, I think, off and on here at the council level, but in this process, is there a mechanism to ensure that there is a real need?
It's a very similar application that you use for council grants that I use for the human service grants.
So
they show the revenue, their expenses, and then I make sure they have a deficit shown. If they didn't, they did not qualify.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that we have that on record, that there is that process. So thank you.
Any more questions, the council?
I just got an observation. I would like to see, as we go forward with these grants, the homeless and the vets increase both those, the emphasis on those areas, those populations in Sussex County. I've seen a lot of negative issues facing both of them. So I'd like to see some increase in there. I don't believe we're doing enough there.
I would agree with that.
Questions from council? Comments from council? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
The next thing is the proposed ordinance. I asked Mr. Moore to review. We hadn't seen the document. We saw it 2 weeks ago. To review the ordinance, make sure everything is we're good to go, and whatever the case may be. So, Mr. Moore, any comments you would like to make or not like to make is up to you.
Yes, Mr. President. You had asked me, and matter of fact, Mr. Cole, at the last meeting, hopefully there would be a legal opinion on this matter. And as I've kind of changed what I was going to say based on some of the comments, not what I was going to say, but the order I was going to address it. There were two attorneys that addressed this issue, and the first one, and I'm sorry I don't remember his name, addressed the Kentucky issue, and that's how this all came about. He was absolutely correct. This came about due to the fact that one county in Kentucky decided to pass a right-to-work ordinance, and prior to that, it was perceived that this was a state issue only. Now, he also correctly pointed out that this is in the Sixth Circuit of the federal judicial system. That's not our circuit. We're in the Third Circuit. It was addressed that there was a Supreme Court decision on this. There has not been a Supreme Court decision on this matter. In fact, there was a request to the Supreme Court to decide this issue based on the federal issue concerning the National Labor Act. And the Supreme Court rejected that. Now, he also correctly pointed out that that does not mean that the Supreme Court approved it. It just says for that circuit, that is the law, but not in any other circuit. It has not been addressed in our circuit. During this period of looking at this, we've also looked at not only the cases, but a lot of articles that have been written about this. He pointed out correctly that he was not commenting on the Delaware Home Rule and how that affected Sussex County. Mr. Kittle, who is an attorney that I have a great deal of respect for, did briefly mention that. And there's been many discussions that I've had with Mr. Kittle during this period of time. Since the Kentucky case. And early on, our office picked up part of our home rule statute, a clause that states, this grant of power does not include the power to enact private or civil law concerning civil relationships, except as incident to the exercise of an expressly granted power. I read that as prohibiting that. This does not give Sussex County the grant of authority under our home rule to pass such an ordinance. During many discussions, we shared the cases. Originally we saw one case in the last 2 weeks since Mr. Arlett brought this up. We've done additional research, found an additional case as well. So based on, and each time we've had the discussion, I've asked the question, have you found anything that modifies, change, or alters that language case-wise or any otherwise? And that has been in the negative. Instead, the discussion is then always flipped to, well, we perceive that under the federal law, federal courts. I have to advise you not what the perception is, that how the opposition may bring their litigation, because there will be litigation if this is passed, but instead, what is the status of our law, and in particular, our home rule law? And it's my opinion that this is not something that's been granted to Sussex County, that we do not have the authority to enact a home rule ordinance. When this was proposed to be introduced last week, I went on vacation, I think, as Mr. Arlette knows, immediately after the meeting, and just got back. We also looked at, I had not seen the ordinance before. Our office had not drafted this. And so I've looked at the format of the ordinance itself. It is not in proper form to be introduced today. Under Delaware Code 9, Delaware Code 7002M, it set forth certain requirements for introduction. First, it specifically states how the short title needs to be formatted. Also indicates the new ordinance needs the new chapter number in the body. It is not in the body. And also the body needs certain underscoring and italics as far as the body itself for the introduction, because it has to be introduced in a format that can be enacted immediately. So for the first set of reasons I gave concerning the home rule, it is my recommendation that, and my legal opinion, that Sussex County does not have the right under the home rule statute to enact this, and secondly, that if it were attempted to be introduced today in its current format, that it would be improper and could be challenged as well.
So if I think I what you heard you just say is that the format that the document is in that you reviewed,
yes,
is not in the correct format per Delaware Code to be actually introduced as an ordinance.
That is correct. Can you say that? That is correct.
And I guess the second question is, if it was introduced as an ordinance, if it could have been, which it can't be, obviously, that in your opinion, it is not, we do not have the legal authority to adopt an ordinance about right to work under our home rule granted by the state of Delaware.
That is correct.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to jump on here and is it this, I'm going to say, if I'm wrong here, please correct me. We can't discuss or introduce because we haven't got a document that's in the correct legal form.
We could have some discussion because it is on the agenda. However, we cannot have an ordinance introduced today in this format.
So we have discussion.
We can have discussion, but no introduction.
Right.
And we cannot legally do this, in your opinion.
That's correct.
Okay. Mr. Arlette.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Mr. Moore. I think your comments and I think are duly noted, and I think I have looked at the Title IX also, and could you share, because I think it's important to have the conversation, is to get it clear, because all along, for me personally, all I've ever wanted is to have the public hearing so we can hear from our community, truth be told. And so it is your opinion here now that we are not able to do so. So could you spell out very specifically here at this moment what exactly has to be changed in the current ordinance that you have seen?
Okay.
Allowing for an introduction.
Sure. The present title of the ordinance lists an ordinance relating to the promotion of economic development and commerce by regulation of certain involuntary payments required of employees in Sussex County. The state code requires that the title of the ordinance contain one subject which clearly is clearly expressed in the title. The title does not clearly describe the contents of the ordinance. That's very specific.
So, second. Okay, if we could, Mr. President, just one item at a time.
Well, I think what we need to do, this is just a, why don't, versus taking whatever, try to, why don't Mr. Moore and Mr. Arlette get together so you can go over this thing and decide what, how it's got to be worded if you want to do it for you.
Well,
and
sure.
We can bring it back on an agenda when it's correct, and we have to sit here in the public.
Yes.
Okay, so one is the title
yes.
is needs to be adjusted, okay? Was there anything else?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes, the body itself, anything new that's being added to the code has to be set forth specifically and in italics or underlined. And third, the actual section number must be included in the body of the ordinance itself, and it's not.
And okay.
So,
those items can be done.
Mr. Moore, if you choose him to do this or review it or whatever and to make the corrections so in the proper format.
So there's three items, and then again, the sections I'm seeing are underlined and italicized, so I'm a little confused on that one. And I don't want to, to your point, Mr. President, I don't want to get too great in detail. But it is on the agenda for discussion. I think we're fortunately a little ahead of schedule, which I guess the public comments went a little faster than perhaps we all thought maybe, which is maybe a good thing. So could you give an example of making a change, I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
It would be, these are just format issues as to that.
Okay.
Those format issues can be made relatively easily.
Okay.
The one that I was given did not have these items that I mentioned.
Right.
And so that can be done, placed back on the agenda for possible introduction relatively easily. That's not
okay.
A big issue.
Perfect.
The big issue from my standpoint goes back to my legal opinion as to what Delaware Home Rule statute has been granted to Sussex County.
Okay. I think, Mr. President, if we can, I'd like to have Mr. Moore work with whomever to include myself and to get this in a proper order for an official possible introduction, because I think on the legal front, I think it's obviously very valid that the input and thoughts that have been portrayed today. At the same time, we've also heard from other legal scholars who have a different opinion. And so to me, I think we're not here to be the judge and jury today. To me, my goal is just to get the public's input, get to a public hearing so we can ultimately hear from the public from all sides, a little bit more in detail than what we've heard today. And so if we have to jump through a few more hoops on the edits to get to that point of a possible introduction, then I would like to see that on the next schedule, next week, Tuesday, with an updated current edit for a possible introduction at that point, Mr. President.
Mr. Moore, is that something you think you can get done?
That is something could be done very easily.
Okay. Mr. Cole?
I want to go back to some questions about the legal opinion in Kentucky and Third Circuit Court and all this other stuff. If 28 states have approved it, obviously, Everett, they're in different circuits throughout the country, and none of those have gone to the Supreme Court, and that was done at the state level, or all of them are. 28 states obviously did it at the state level.
To my recollection, there's been one that's been on a county level, possibly two. And that's the one, because prior to that, it was thought that only the states had that authority, and it was Kentucky case that it was done by a county, and it was challenged based upon the federal act. And it was ended up in federal court.
Okay.
It went through the district court first, which is the initial trier of fact, and they rejected the county's claim. It then went to the circuit court. Circuit court upheld it. It was then looking to go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court did not hear it. But that is not binding on any other circuit in the country.
Okay, there's no legal issues associated with the states doing it, these right to work.
That's right.
Right, legislation. That's all.
It's a state authority.
That's never been challenged. Or so, okay. If there's litigation, because I heard the one attorney, the attorney from Seaford, alluding to that this thing could go through various court challenges. That would be also, you know, it can be expensive, obviously, and everything else. What would be the what would are the arguments if we do something at the county level? If to do it at the state level, there's no argument. There's no litigation. My guess is, right? But if we do it at the county level, the anticipation is there's going to be challenges, et cetera, et cetera. So those challenges would be on what arguments? Can't do it? And
there would be challenges on this matter. It would, and, you know, during discussions I've had with the parties that are proponents of this, oftentimes they keep referring to the NLRA, the National Labor Relations Act, and that the any cases would possibly be litigated under that at a federal level, and it's concerning the definition of what does the term state mean, and is it the county, does the county have the rights to bring this. I have to look at and recommend to you, based upon what I see, not as a theory of how an opposition may bring a litigation, whether state or federal court. Number one, this will be litigated. If this is enacted, you can guarantee there's going to be litigation. I don't buy into the argument that there's only going to be one group bring litigation. I think it could be possibly. And I also believe that there would be litigation on multi fronts, including federal and state. And one of the issues that would come up would be our home rule statute. I believe our home rule statute, as currently written, and the cases that, although the cases have not been obviously about Right to Work Act, it's been in fact other incidents, and the courts have interpreted what we refer to as the private action portion of this. And if you look at our ordinance as well, or as the proposed ordinance, it gives the administrator basically rights to go in and regulate this. So there's a whole host of issues that I believe that would be litigated. In addition to that, besides the litigation that I'd see in multiple courts, I see that obviously anyone litigating this would want to see that it stop in its tracks. So they would obviously file for injunctive relief. Now, if the injunctive relief were granted by the courts, that would mean that during the entire litigation, you would not have what the hope of the ordinance is to bring more jobs, more businesses, because they couldn't, because we would not have this ordinance and would not be able to adopt it during that time. There would be a hold placed on that during that period of time. So we could see very, very expensive litigation, possibly on multiple fronts, including injunctive relief during this lengthy period of time.
Okay.
Some of the other arguments are going to be, obviously, if anyone, since I was asked to give this opinion publicly here, anyone in opposition that opposes this, if this were passed, obviously would bring up, you know, they'd roll the tape on what's occurring today, that, you know, here's the arguments that the legal counsel gave to the county council.
Well, that leads to a question. I hate seeing all these attorneys making all this money, so don't take that personally. But, so obviously, if we did something at the county level, and there's all this potential litigation, which sounds, you know, pretty much a given. The impact on the county. I asked Todd. I said, Todd, we got issues with Financially, how would it impact? Obviously, we would have to hire outside counsel for their expertise, which we typically do when we get into cases like this, and that would be an extra cost. How about insurance companies? We had problems with the last time we went through something of this nature with the prayer and that issue. And we had, again, outside counsel and insurance company problems and stuff like that. What is the impact, I guess, of doing it at the county level versus at the state level, which I guess they've tried it at the state level and they weren't successful, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, to be clear, we're incurring legal expenses now. So Moore and his staff have already taken the time and effort to come up with the recommendations he's presented today. Anticipating this question, we did ask our insurance company regarding our insurance policy for this type of legal case. If we were to be sued, if this were to proceed, the deductible on this part of our policy is a $250,000 deductible. However, the insurance company did say they would reserve the right to review the situation involving the litigation, and doesn't mean that our policy would cover this litigation. In other words, whether or not we would have insurance payments as a result of entering into this type of litigation. Reminder, we'd still have to spend $250,000 before insurance kicks in, because that's the deductible that this would cover.
Right. That's all. Just some general questions.
Any more questions from council?
Yeah, Mr. President, if I may, I think just to be clear, you know, it is on the agenda today, and we have submitted. So I want to go on record to introduce this today. I'm just going on record. I think I would love to be able to get this back on the agenda this next week, as already mentioned, with the minor edits for further discussion, because ultimately we're not here taking a vote today. So, you know, ultimately we're having these conversations before we even get to a full public hearing, i.e. getting all of the information. So right now we're just sharing information amongst ourselves versus a real dialogue with the community. So ultimately I think that's most important for me is to be able to, as we have heard from numerous people throughout this county and throughout this community, both in support and also those against. And to me, it's just important to have the public dialogue. That's all I've ever been asked. That's all I've ever desired, is to have a public dialogue, and we're not there yet. Because that's what can lead to an ultimate, perhaps, vote in favor, or perhaps as a community, we decide this is not what we need to do. But I don't think we're there yet. So to me, ultimately, it's just a matter of getting to a point where we can try for the third time to introduce an ordinance to allow a public hearing so we can hear from our community and have a real dialogue, back and forth dialogue with all parties. Because I think ultimately everybody in this room and in this community desires the same thing, and that's, you know, good paying jobs that they can provide for their families. There's obviously differencing of opinions. So to me, I think we're not where we need to be yet as a council, in my opinion, as it relates to hearing from the public. And I desire to get to that public hearing so we can responsibly make a good quality decision, and we're not there yet today, Mr. President. So I just yield, if we can, make the edits as suggested and recommended, and we can we see that back on the agenda this next week, Tuesday?
I'm sure we can.
Okay.
Just for the record, I would simply comment that had Councilman Arlette chosen to go to our legal counsel and had the thing drawn up and drafted, there'd have been no mistakes in it. It'd have been done right the first time. And that's a lesson for all of us.
Yeah. And I think...
I'm sorry?
No. So, yeah. We'll let it lie right there.
Grant request.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's one grant request. Mason-Dixon Woodworkers is requesting support for their Christmas toy program for families in need. A donation of $500 can produce 50 toys at a value of $2,000. They are targeted to make 1,300 toys again this year. Last grant received was $1,100, which was $220 from each council member.
So moved, Mr. President.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Introduction, proposed zoning ordinance. Mr. Moore?
Yes, Mr. President. We have several.
Can you hold the noise down, please, while we're still in session?
The first is in Mr. Arlette's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 71.379 acres, more or less.
I will introduce it.
I'll introduce it. Could you please keep your noise down while we're in session? Thank you very much.
We're on the World Wide Web.
The next one is Mr. Vincent's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 2.09 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
The next one is in Mr. Burton's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to amend certain conditions of approval of conditional use number 2071, ordinance number 2514, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 31.9478 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it. Burton introduces it.
And the last one is in Mr. Burton's district as well, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a professional office with contractor storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 4.6425 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it. Burton introduces it.
And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Council member comments. Council member comments. Anyone? Anyone? We'll move on to the motion to an executive session for land acquisition.
So moved, Mr. President.
Mr. Cole, second.
Second.
Mr. Arlette. Any questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I believe yes. We're now in executive session for land acquisition. I assume downstairs.